Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are delighted to be with you this evening. We're grateful to God for this opportunity to be able to stand and to speak on our Lord's behalf and to speak on behalf of the work that we have been blessed to be able to be part of. Many of you all may not know where the country of Malawi is. I didn't know when I first met our late brother James Nyando, who was from that country. I actually met him here in Madison. Sister Yvonne Graham, a young lady who was a member of this congregation, introduced me to him. We fast became dear friends, and he and I were almost inseparable from 2012 until his passing in 2015. I wanted to just bring you up to date on how this work came about. This is an organic work. This is nothing that our congregation had planned. Because of my visit to South Africa, this was in 2011, I was invited by Brother Paul Williams, our late brother Paul Williams. And Paul had given me some insight into the thinking of many of our African friends and brethren, and that information enabled me, I believe, to do this work in a better manner than I would have if I had not met Brother Paul. I can't remember exactly how many years Brother Paul had served our Lord in South Africa, but it was 50 plus years. I've been in Malawi for some 7 years. God blesses me to go back. This would be the beginning of my 8th year. I'm praying that I would be able to get out sometime toward the end of February and then come back sometime about the middle of November. I'll be showing you some of the pictures and slides that are primarily related to the devastation that happened during Hurricane Freddie. It's a hurricane on this side of the world, but we refer to it in Africa as a cyclone. These are some very dangerous storms, and since our infrastructure in Malawi is very poor, we have lots of destruction that happens. Now, as we go through these slides this afternoon, we will see there was a young child who was holding on a rock. And I was told this child lived, but it took some time for them to be able to rescue him. And I wanted you to see that, you know, this is no fairy tale. The work that we do, it is designed to seek and save those who are lost. I have a certain mentality about serving in Africa. And that mentality is that I will do everything I can to preach and teach the gospel to everyone. But when it comes to the funding of those who are in need, our funding from a Christian perspective goes to our people first. If there's anything additional that I have on a personal perspective, I'm more than happy to share that. But I make no attempt and I make no apologies to say that the monies and so forth that this congregation blesses us with, those funds are spent among God's people, caring for them and advancing the gospel of Christ. Right now, we are in a crisis situation again in Malawi. We had given monies and bought seeds and fertilizers for some of our brethren. The rain did not come until about 2 weeks ago. So most of that seed has been destroyed because it was not able to germinate in the ground. So this is a process that we start all over again, and we will be sending monies to Malawi to certain brethren to start that process again. Also, I would like for you to understand that as we go through these difficult times in Africa, these are times that are almost standard for Malawi as a nation. Malawi is the fourth poorest republic or nation on this planet. And because of that, our living standards and so forth are somewhat lower than most of the civilized world. So far, there is about 7,500 plus people who have been who have obeyed the gospel since our arrival to teach there in 2016. And God has been very good to us because there have been a number of brethren who do not agree. These are brethren who are members of the Lord's church who do not agree with some of the things that the scriptures have taught. And we have spent some time dealing with many of our brethren on just simple Bible issues. But thanks be to God that many have come around and they have been able to understand what the scriptures teach. And in doing so, the gospel of Christ has been advanced. I'm going to start the presentation. As you can see on the right, this is how our country is laid out. It is a landlocked country. It has the second largest, I believe, freshwater lake in the world. Often Auburn and Mississippi State will come over and do research. I was told there are some 250 species of fish that exist in this particular area that does not exist anywhere else on Earth. So the universities are trying to teach the Malawians how not to overfish and how to take care of this wonderful natural resource. This is a great source of protein for many of our people in Malawi and Mozambique primarily. All right, this is the cyclone that we had spoken about. I think I returned to Malawi about the 3rd of March, and when I arrived about a week or so later, this cyclone started. It was very devastating to our country because it first happened and it brought lots of rain, and then it moved off shore, and then it came back a second time and dumped a lot more rain, and it caused all of the crops that we had planted in the south to be lost. But again, thanks be to God that our brethren came to the rescue, our brothers here, came to the rescue of many of our fellow Christians who would have been hungry without our effort. This is just showing you some of the general devastation. And again, this primarily happened because we have a poor systems of infrastructure. And when these things occur, because we don't have a great building system, these things sort of happen and they continue to be problems for us as a republic. One of the things that I want you to realize that when you're dealing with government, because, you know, though we are there working and preaching and teaching the gospel, we still come across opportunities to work with people within the government. And when we work with these people, many of them are believers in God. Over the past couple of years, we have been able to baptize some of the members of Parliament into Christ, and they have become believers. And their attitude towards service have somewhat changed. I'll just quickly move forward just to let you see how some of these things work. This is our young people coming from school. They got caught in a bridge washout, and they are getting to the other side, which is where the main villages were. And one of our brethren sent me this slide after he had captured this particular event. But again, because our infrastructure is so poor, when bridges and so forth when rains come like this and our bridges are washed out, it's a common occurrence for us. I'll quickly move forward, and I think this is the one. Let's see. That's not the one. Okay, moving forward. You know, we're thankful here in this country that we do have colleges and universities who are able to teach proper construction. And I'm a textile engineer, and there are a number of things that happen that many of us just don't understand about the about countries like Malawi and continents like Africa. There are some rich nations in Africa, but for the most part, many of those nations are very much like the United States. We have very little time for the gospel of Christ in this country. And it is probably, at least I think, because we have so much and we are no longer dependent on God. Those 7,000 plus people who have obeyed the gospel over the last 7 years, many of them realize that they will not be any better off for as goods and services and ownership of products are. But they're looking forward to eternity because this is where they see their benefit. They know that they'll never be able to live in a country like America where our government even provides for those who are not citizens. They realize that they're in a state primarily because of the country in which they were born. And they pray that when the Lord returns, that they will be in good standing with our Lord so that they could go home and to live in eternity with him. This is the picture I think that I was talking about. Let's see if I can find this. There's a young kid who has just held on for dear life. And the waters have subsided and some of the gentlemen are going to get him. Man, I was told this little kid that he actually lived. But because, you know, none of this stuff is sugar-coated in any sense. We deal with these kind of problems and issues on a daily basis. But life and death is just a matter of fact, you know, when you're working in countries like Malawi. These are some of our brethren who... We basically took these pictures to show you how their houses and so forth had been washed away. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere around $150,000 was raised to send to our brethren. So besides food and clothing and medical supplies, that was the first thing that needed to be taken care of. We then tried to help many of our Christian brethren rebuild their dwelling places so that they could live in a more comfortable environment. Just showing you different pictures of different Christians who basically, as we would say, have lost everything. And they don't have a government to basically lean on to help them. So that's our responsibility as Christians to take care of their physical needs at some point. We spend quite a bit of our time teaching our brothers and sisters about some of the basics of the gospel of Christ. And I tell you, Africa has some very smart people. When I say smart, many of them have attended universities, and they're very academically astute. And many of them have become too smart for themselves. And many have taken on the responsibility to teach the gospel of Christ sometime not knowing that they're teaching error, and sometimes knowing that they're teaching error and teaching that error anyway. The one thing that I'm grateful to is that I have learned so much sitting at the feet of wonderful men in this particular area, so that when I went to Africa, I was pretty confident as to my teaching ability of the gospel. And once I got there, Brother Paul Williams, he told me, Larry, you know, this is not America. And there are certain things that you can say that I can't say as a gospel preacher. And I have noticed that. This is a few of the brethren who have been assembled primarily from the central region. We brought a few in from the northern region. These brothers have had some issues with some of the things that people have been doing in the church. This particular congregation in which we are meeting at, it's the Falls Church of Christ in Lilongwe. And if you would consider a church that was a leading congregation, this would be one of those kind of congregations. And we have we assembled this gathering, and it lasted all day on a Saturday, to tell our brethren that some of the things that you people are doing is not in keeping with the scriptures. And we would be less than servants of God if we see these things and don't speak up against it. So there were many brethren who didn't appreciate us taking a position directly against them. But I'm very grateful to God that many of our brethren did see exactly what we were teaching and exactly what the Bible was teaching. None of us have the ability to go out and to start churches and put those churches under the umbrella of a central leadership. We would be no more than the denomination of people that do the very same thing. And for some reason in Africa, people try to gain power by controlling people. We have diligently taught that every church is autonomous. Every church does its own teachings based on the scriptures. Believe it or not, the United States was based on that kind of teaching as well. This is why we have the United States of America. Because if any one state decided to do its own thing, it can succeed from the Union without damaging their entire structure as a whole. And I think this was the wisdom of God when he created such an institution as the church. This church that we are a member of, it's a special institution for the saving of souls. And we are blessed to be part of such an institution. These brethren, they spent one day with us here, and then we went to the southern region and had a general meeting of that same nature, just teaching, you know, what the Bible has said, man. I mean, let's do it. And I had all kinds of questions about, you know, but this we've done for the last 100 years. Listen, in Malawi, the translation of the Chichewa Bible just reached its 100th year. So since missionaries, in many cases, have been corrupted by money, I'm thankful that we're able to go in and to teach these truth. And we don't have any fear about our brethren doing any harm to us. I feel that I'm in the hands of God. That is the best care that I can hope for. Therefore, you know, if something happens to me, being a Christian, that's the greatest consolation to my mind as I do this particular work. Yes, we believe that our late brother, James Nyando, he most likely was poisoned, and I miss him very much. But there are people who want power, and because they want power, they are willing to take out another human being in order to gain that particular power. But we teach that the Lord's church belongs to the Lord still, that there's still one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And the things that people seem to fear sometime in the United States, they're afraid to say that there's only one one church. And I don't know why that is. But in Africa, You know, we can say that, and the Africans can see it, and they can understand it. And I think that, you know, we're just one soul preaching and teaching Christ. But our people can understand that there's a difference between what we teach in the Lord's Church as opposed to what denominational churches teach. Catholics, Methodists. The Methodists in the United States are no longer the United Methodists anymore, because there are some who believe in homosexuality, that you can allow people to come in and to hold positions of authority in your congregations. And the woman is married to another woman, the man is married to another man. And there are some people who say that God does not want these kind of relationships in the church. And for that reason, the United Methodist Church is no longer united. Anytime you stop following the scriptures, anytime you stop following God's word, you're going to have problems as a society. This is Brother Greg Chandler and his wife, who were visiting with us in Malawi. And this year we had the privilege of entertaining nine Americans who spent time with us helping and teaching the Word of God. We're with a chief, and I think that the chief is a woman, and if I'm not mistaken, she has something like 20,000 people under her jurisdiction. It is important, I think it's imperative, that we understand how Africa is structured, especially these countries like Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and so forth. The chieftain structure is a very important part of their society. And those 20 or so thousand people that she has under her authority, they look for direction within society from her. We had had an issue with some of the brethren saying that a chief could not be a member of the Lord's Church. And I'll show you a little picture of a meeting that we had to refute that. And from that particular meeting, we had actually four chiefs who obeyed the gospel. The primary job of a chief is to maintain social order. The second job of the chief is to hold some of the customs and traditions that the African society has in high esteem. And I think that's the reason they were saying certain chiefs can't be a member of the Lord's Church. But that's not true. Any chief who converts to the gospel of Christ and obeys the gospel of Christ, that individual can become a member of the body of Christ. None of us have the authority to keep people out of the Church of Christ. There may be people we don't like. There may be people who have practiced certain things. But Paul gives a list of things that people have done in the past. But Paul says, you know, you no longer do those things. You're a different person when you obey the gospel of Christ. I'll quickly move forward. Where's Stephen Williams? Okay. All right. This is Brother Stephen Williams. This is he and his brother David and wife. We have had, I've had knowledge of Brother Paul Williams for I can't remember how long, but Brother Paul passed, and he was such an instrumental person in getting me to come to Africa. I just had to go and be part of his memorial service. It's a 2.5 hour flight from my little country to get there. But I was so happy to see David and Stephen teaching on that Sunday morning certain aspects of the gospel. And our Malawian brethren enjoyed it dearly. I know that you didn't send me to Malawi to build churches. We understand that. But there are certain brethren in America who contribute money so that our brethren can worship in building structures. And those building structures can perhaps last, you know, for many, many years with proper maintenance. We are in the process now of building a new building. I think we've built three so far. And we're building this particular building in an area called Mchinji. And There's already, I'm thinking, a little bit over 200, 250 in that area, who are members of the Lord's Church in that particular area. We hope to build a structure that will seat somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 people. And this has been a wonderful thing because the elders there are highly educated men, but they've had no way to build a structure that would be sufficient for them to worship in and invite people from the community so that they can also be taught. So this is Brother Greg Chandler doing one of the groundbreaking events. This is another one of our sisters, Sister Denley, you guys would remember. This is Dr. Moses Cumby, who have visited you. Dr. Moses Cumby has a son. Raise your hand, son. That's Dr. Moses Cumby, son. And Moses have been very instrumental in helping me get across the country to meet people who have been in opposition to the basic teachings of the scriptures. So this is Moses taking part in the groundbreaking ceremony. Of course, we have local meetings all the time, and the guy you see in that blue or purple jacket, this is Brother Lazarus Ngulwe. I think Lazarus was trained in South Africa, and since we have been in Malawi, he has really developed as a preacher. We're praying that at some point that we can build a housing structure here in the United States where these brethren can come from Africa on a regular basis and spend 2 to 3 months here learning some particulars about the gospel. Rarely do we have a meeting where we don't have 500, 600, 700, 800, 1,000, 1,500 people in attendance. And these people are primarily Christians, and the brother that Lazarus is working with is a brother from the Phoenix, the Glendale, Arizona area. I'm going to quickly move forward. This is a meeting that we're having, which is part of a sister's lectureship. This is usually a 4-day event, and I was the guest speaker for the Sunday Lord's Day service. I think we had about 500 or so women who were in attendance with this, and most of them would be elders and deacon wives. And our effort is to teach them that they can easily disqualify their husbands from preaching or teaching the gospel from an elder's respect. There are some women, I don't know any here in this area, who would certainly disqualify their husbands from preaching the gospel, from teaching and being an elder, because they are not those kind of women who can who cannot have their own opinion openly. So we have had opportunities to teach women that there are certain responsibilities that you have. And in the church, when Paul asked women to be silent in the church, he's not asking them not to sing. He's talking about their conduct and so forth. And our women, they came out spending about 4 days there, and I did the Sunday Lord's Day lesson. Again, just more teaching. These brethren invited us because you had sent maybe $10,000 or so to this region. So just before we left, they wanted us to come and present a lesson to them. So we spent all day Saturday working with this particular group of Christians, and they were showing their gratitude by inviting us because there was a lot of damage, death, and destruction and devastation that happened, and they were grateful for the role that you played in helping. This is it's a small congregation, and I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 people are in this particular meeting. This is where the preacher, he had basically denied membership to chiefs. As I said earlier, the chiefs are a very important structure in the governing system of of Malawi. One of the unique things about the chiefs, it goes through a bloodline, and that bloodline is on the mother's side. They say that you can always assure who the mother was. You may not always be able to tell who the father was. So in this particular system, they were saying that the chief, a local chief, whose all her family members was in the church, but they wouldn't allow her to be baptized. You know, so we went to that particular region, and we spent 2 days teaching there. And some of the brethren were able to understand and accept what the Bible taught. And in doing so, that particular chief was baptized. And then there were three other chiefs shortly after her baptism. And now her whole family is able to worship together based on the teachings of the scriptures. Again, building construction. I know you didn't send me to Africa to build, you know, but we have pretty nice homes over here. We have pretty nice buildings that we can worship in. And if someone wants to provide the money, you know, let us do this. This is a task that when it's completed, there'll be room for about 600 or so people to worship in a structure that we believe, if it's properly maintained, it will last, you know, anywhere from 50 to 100 or more years. This is the baptistry. This is the finishing of cement, concrete. And I'll just quickly run through these. This structure, we hope to have it completed shortly after the rainy season. It's going to cost somewhere around $70,000 to build this particular structure. And we already know that a lot of good is being done because the town itself, they're coming out and several people will spend hours, you know, sitting and just watching this particular structure happen. So it would be an easier thing to teach those people about the gospel of Christ. Again, as I'm saying on the last slide here, we appreciate so much your prayers. Your prayers have enabled us to do many things that I know under normal conditions we would not be able to do. I'm grateful to God for every opportunity that he has given us. And being in Malawi, these last 7 years have shown me that faithful people can accomplish a lot. Brother Paul Williams, he advised me. He said, "Larry, you know, I don't know what your plans are, but plan to stay if you want this work to advance. You know, don't start something and go home in 2 or 3 years, and all the work that you've done." It'll be basically go to nothing. So I listened to Brother Paul, and no doubt, the longer I stayed, the closer I got to the people. There were evildoers there who really disliked the advancement of the cause of Christ based on the Bible. And many of those people have come around to see things the way our Lord sees things. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, I have been told by some of the brethren that I need to get you home before some of the bad things happen that normally happen on New Year's Eve. And I don't know exactly what that is, but I'm going to do my very best to get you out of here. As a matter of fact, when I was in Malawi, I was hearing that there were some pretty bad things happening in the United States while I was over there. So I'm hoping and praying that all of these political issues will not be enough to keep us from advancing the cause of Christ, even in this country, or even in a foreign country like Malawi. If you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, and I'll just make a few comments as we extend the Lord's invitation, and the lesson, of course, will be yours. In Joshua chapter 3, and particularly around verse number 4, if you remember that Moses, he has spoken to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, and he was explaining to them that God had taken care of them during their most difficult times in their lives, that their clothing didn't wear out. And again, being a textile engineer, there's one thing that you can always depend on: fiber, ultraviolet degradation. It will break down, it will tear up any kind of fiber, even man-made fibers. But of course, they only had natural fibers here. Can you imagine your shoes not wearing out for 40 years? Can you imagine your clothing not wearing out for 40 years? God took care of his people. And as verse number 4 says, Joshua chapter 3 and verse number 4, yet there should be a distance between you and it, meaning the Ark of the Covenant, about some 200 cubits, that's about 1,000 yards. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. We're about some 5 hours from entering into a new year. And certainly that is a year that none of us have seen before. We have not passed this way before. But we have a wonderful example of a Lord who has looked out for his people for a long time. I think every new year brings us a certain amount of fascination. And it also brings us a certain amount of fear. Certain things have happened in 2023 that surprised us or shocked us. Certain things that we could not do anything about. The death of a loved one. Just certain political things that may have happened that we would have believed that would have never happened in a Western country, especially like the United States. But those things, they did happen. And because they did happen, we have to remember that the political parties are not in control, that it is still God who is in control. And the commandment from my Lord is that I be truthful and faithful to government, because it's government's job to keep me safe. And as long as our safety is maintained, the gospel of Christ, I believe, can be advance. So fascination is one thing that we feel as a new year begins, but also fear. I remember close to the end of October, I had a new grandson that was born. And, you know, I can't help but just, that's number 11, as a matter of fact. And I couldn't help but wonder what his little life is going to be like, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. But my job as a grandparent is to teach the gospel of Christ to not just my children, but also be an example for my grandchildren. Because there's no doubt, there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So the fact that many people are nervous or a little shy about taking the position that when the Bible says that there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, that we preach and teach that same doctrine, because it is important what we believe and what we teach. Doctrine is one of those things that connect us to Christ. And if we somehow fail to teach the proper doctrine, then the church is going to be corrupted, like many of the churches that I see in Africa. We have been blessed to establish some 23 different Lord churches, primarily in the southern region. But there are a number of churches who are finally coming out of this darkness and man-made control, who are listening to what the Lord is teaching us from the scriptures. So I'm grateful to God and ask your continued prayers as we stay there and as we teach. And I pray to God that we can find men who would be interested in going to nations like Malawi to advance the gospel of Christ. I had no idea what it was going to be like. But 2 days before my friend James Nyando died, he and I were talking. He was in the hospital, and he was still very alert and conscious. And he was saying, you know, Larry, many people come from the West, and they end up in these major cities. And they never go out in the village and teach the gospel. He said, Larry, that's where the people are. And lo and behold, that it just kept, like, mulling through my mind. And one day I went to the elders, and I told them, I said, brethren, I would love to go to Malawi and to preach the gospel. You know, unlike many places you go, they didn't ask me why. They said, when would you like to go? And I told them, I think sometime in February or March of 2016. And they said, well, we'll make it happen. And they, for me, it's just been a blessing for me to have this stage of my life. I had a difficult time managing. We had almost 700 people in our little company. But to manage 7,000, you know, that's an even greater Herculean task. That's why we need brothers and sisters who can come from countries like this, people who are well educated about the gospel of Christ, and they can help us teach and advance the cause of Christ. If there's anyone who wants to take a vacation, you can come to Malawi. You can work. You can come back to the United States and vacation. Because those times you spend in Malawi, it will be time, I believe, well spent, and it will be moments that will stick with you the rest of your life. I'm grateful to the congregation for allowing people like Brother and Sister Chandler to come over and to spend time with us. They personally have added to the advancement of the cause of Christ in that particular part of the world. And no, I cannot save everybody. I think Paul, he came to the conclusion that he couldn't save everybody. But there are some who will listen, though they would obey the gospel. And when they obey the gospel, the Lord would add them to the church. This evening, if there's anyone who is among us who is not a member of the body of Christ, you come this evening by hearing his word, by believing his word to be truth, by confessing your sin, by repenting of those things that are wrong in your life, and then by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin. If you are a member currently and you feel that your life has not been in keeping with the will of God, you come by repenting of that issue, whatever that fault is. You then come by having prayer offered in your behalf. And the Lord has promised that he would restore you back to your rightful place in his kingdom. I'm grateful to God for every prayer that had been sent up on our behalf. The word of God is advancing in a foreign nation like Malawi, where we have never had anyone preaching and teaching, but we had an eldership who were interested in the souls of those people, not just the souls of those who are in this country, but for those who are in foreign countries like Malawi. Just remember that I am your missionary to Malawi, and we want to do everything we can to advance the cause of Christ in that part of the world where we are working. If we have anyone in either category this evening, please make your request known as we together stand and sing our song of encouragement, please.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question, and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.